Thanks for being with The Record on this Monday afternoon here on KUOW and on Twitter, hashtag KUOWRecord. I'm Marcy Silman. I'm in this week for Bill Radke. If you're a devotee of Seattle's First Thursday Art Walk, you may have noticed last week that not one, not two, but three separate galleries are showing paintings by Michael Spafford. University of Washington Press just published a book about Spafford's art as well. This 83-year-old is notoriously publicity shy. In fact, he doesn't even want you to call him an artist.
I'd much rather be known as a painter because that's a specific thing. An artist is so ephemeral. I mean, it keeps changing from year to year what it is to be an artist. And you can be an artist as a cook, you can be an artist as an automobile mechanic, you can be an artist as all kinds of things, you know. But you can only paint if you're a painter.
And that is a painter. That's Michael Spafford here to discuss why his paintings and his persona are such an important part of the Seattle arts landscape is another mainstay of Seattle's arts community, artist, writer, and administrator Barbara Earl Thomas. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
You were one of Michael Spafford's students as an undergraduate at University of Washington. And so when did you first meet this man?
Well, I tell the story. I mean, I sort of grew up with Michael Spafford. I met him when I was about 18 or 19 years old, and as I was going into the university, he was one of my professors who I, you know, started in the 100 series and sort of went all the way through, and he actually was one of my graduate advisors as well.
Were you planning to be an art student when you entered the university?
I don't know what I was planning to be. I was just excited to be on the campus. I was excited to be in a place that seemed so much like a fantasy land. And I didn't even know you could major in art. And I just sort of wandered over. And someone finally told me, oh, you need to declare your major. I said, what do? You stand outside and make a declaration? They said, no, you got to go fill out a piece of paper. And then, because I wasn't getting the classes that I wanted. Mm. So I ended up in that first 100 series that Michael was teaching.
Okay, so what was he like as a teacher?
I found Michael to be a little bit confrontive. He always wanted to make sure you were awake. And at least maybe it was just he wanted to make sure I was awake, because he was always asking me questions and looking at my work and asking me about the work. And I tell the story of when he looked at my work, and I guess I was drawing right in the middle of my piece of paper, and I was doing it very neatly and in control. And he looked at me, he says, when are you going to stop drawing like you have table manners? So, well, I don't know if that's possible. And then he took my drawing pad and threw it on the ground, and he stomped on it. He said, now there, do something about that.
So that sounds so scary to me. I mean, I might have left the room crying.
Well, it didn't occur to me to leave the room crying. I just looked at him like, my goodness, this fellow probably needs help from me. So I picked up my pad and turned the page, and I said, well, this is what has to happen. I need to draw for a while before he looks at it again, because he seems to be going off. So when he'd come around for 3 weeks, I wouldn't let him look at my work. And every time he'd come near me, I said, I'm not ready for you yet. You go across the room.
Barbara Earl Thomas is with us. She is an artist, and despite somebody jumping up and down on her drawing pad, that somebody being Professor Emeritus Michael Spafford. I mentioned the three galleries and I mentioned the book, but Friday evening, there was a sort of a one-night-only show at the Jacob Lawrence Gallery, which is in the University of Washington School of Art. You were there. A lot of people were there. What was it like to see so many folks gathered, I assume, from the school as well as from the greater community?
Well, I have to say that, again, the thing I think that is so great about this event, and it is an event, it's an event because it's the arts community itself saying, you know, there is one among us, and there are probably many among us, but we're going to take this particular one, and we want to have the opportunity to see the full body of his effort. And the full body of his effort expands and spans now, the way it's exhibited, over three galleries, in the Greg Kucera Gallery, in the Davidson Gallery with the prints, and more paintings that are in the John Braceth, and then the drawings that are at the art school on the University
they're
of Washington.
They're actually gone.
Campus. They're down now?
They're down. They were there just for a day.
So it was this wonderful. And someone says, well, why Michael? Why not?
Well, but does everybody deserve that kind of really citywide tribute?
Well, I think it's not only deserving, but it's meritorious because of the work. The work is monumental. It is well thought out. It is very it's engaging, and I say because he has the work and it's there. And we should be able to see it. And so these three galleries have given us a chance to see the breadth of that work. And the work is what makes itself deserving.
We should say that for those of you who haven't seen Michael Spafford's work, it's very focused on his interpretations of classics. We were just talking about classic plays. He goes way earlier than that. The Iliad, the Odyssey, he's inspired by classic Greek
mythology and legends. And so you see his interpretations of Hercules and the stable and all of that and the way that he tells the story. And he's telling us the story visually, and it's drama, and it's engaging, and you're pulled into it, whether you know the mythology or not. But it might make you go out and want to learn about that mythology.
Now, this is a man, as I mentioned, who doesn't really want the limelight. In fact, even at the Friday night talk, he deflected it to both his students and to his late colleague, Jacob Lawrence. But at least a couple of these monumental works have led him to notoriety. The Rape of Europa was pulled from the Bellevue Arts and Crafts Fair, that's what it used to be called, in 1967. I first met Michael Spafford when The 12 Labors of Hercules was first covered and then removed from the state legislature building after some conservative members of the legislature complained that it was obscene, and it led to a lawsuit. How does that sort of brush with infamy affect the man himself and what he has accomplished?
Well, I think it's all part of it. You know, if you're going to get the rays of the sun and be warmed by it, there's the other side of it, where someone doesn't like it, or if someone misinterprets it or interprets it in their own way, you get that too. You don't get to filter that out. And while I want to respond to the question that you asked, or the statement about this work and how, you know, Michael has eschewed the limelight, the work has not eschewed the limelight. So let's be clear here. The work has not said, I do not want to be seen. I do not want to be talked about. I do not want to be embraced by the world, not just the Northwest, but the world. The work has not said that. The work is telling you that's what it wants. And so now we have an opportunity to allow that work to do what it is created to do, embrace, engage, and sort of envelop us in a story.
He has the body of work, and that's what we see in the galleries. He's also shaped artists, three decades worth of artists coming out of the University of Washington. How has that influenced the visual arts community or the greater arts community in our region?
Well, I think, again, Michael is alive, and he's like I said on Friday, I said, this is not a memorial. This is about the living person's work. And it's work. It's his own labor. And I feel like when I saw that work, what I was reminded of was, my goodness, this is a job. And I am so lucky to be able to have this job. And here's an example of what one person has done with his vision and talent and his fidelity to his vision and his talent, because you serve that. You serve that talent. And he's done a magnificent job at that.
He also told the folks gathered Friday evening, because I was there, that anybody could be a painter. It's just like writing, doing crossword puzzles. I don't think that's really probably true.
Well, you know, it depends on, you know, where you're sitting. And I do believe that when Michael says these things, sometimes he says them a little bit as a tongue-in-cheek, but he also says them as a way to push people to think beyond what their comfort zone is and beyond how they have learned about who's on what side. It's like theater, you know, who's in the audience and who's on stage, how those positions can change at any time.
As we speak, there's a single painting by a now deceased art star hanging in the Seattle Art Museum, a Basquiat that recently sold at auction for more than $10 million. There are art stars. There are folks that aren't art stars. What's the difference between those kinds of people?
Well, I don't think they're actually, I mean, if both of them have done the work, if both of them have lived the life, however brief, as in Basquiat's case, and however generous, as in Michael's case, sometimes it's just a matter of luck. It's a matter of luck. And I was talking to someone about, you know, that element of luck. You are no less deserving, but maybe luck. And let's just face it, Basquiat didn't have all that before he died. So his luck has come later. He personally is not necessarily gaining from that. And I'm hoping that with this, that Michael, the living artist, gets to hear or whatever he wants from it. You know, and I don't even go there. You know, he doesn't want the limelight, but there may be something he wants from having his artwork make this very lively conversation. So let's have it. And one thing I want to say is, you know, the community, his son, Spike Mafford, and the wife, Lisa Dutton, and all these galleries that I mentioned have come together to make this opportunity. This is a little luck we've decided to make our own selves. So, you know, mazel tov, and let's all do it.
I've been speaking with Barbara Earle Thomas about the Northwest artist Michael Spafford, a professor emeritus of the University of Washington School of Art. Michael Spafford's very long career is being celebrated right now in a citywide show called Epic Works at the Davidson, Braceth, and Greg Kucera galleries. And two of those last for a couple of months and one for just 1 month. And there's also a new book that's been published by the University of Washington Press. Barbara is a former student of Michael Spafford, former executive director of the Northwest African Museum, and a kick artist in her own right. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.